We got 30 minutes on the clock and a bunch to get to. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, Monday, June 20th edition, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Accepting walk-ins or go online to schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. I am your host, Double T Travis there. Appreciate you being with me here on this Monday evening. And once again, want to extend a thanks to Dr. Brian Whistle, who came through last week. We caught up with him at the end of the show to talk about him being the new chief of surgery at St. Elizabeth Dearborn here in Lawrenceburg, and some of the ongoing stuff he has going on at OrthoSensi as well. I also talked about sports physicals. I know they had sports physicals not too long ago, and if you missed out on that opportunity, your student athlete at home, you still have the opportunity to get those sports physicals done throughout the summer to be ready for the 2022-23 sports year. So go back and check out the podcast featuring Brian Whistle. If you didn't catch the show last week, we have that loaded up for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. As always, a lot to get to on the show this evening. The rundown going to include the Lawrenceburg Hill 5K 5-mile runs from Saturday. Want to take a checkup of that particular event. Harrison Girls Wrestling back in the headlines as well. Got a youngster from Lawrenceburg High School that is standing out on the baseball field and is going to have an awesome opportunity coming up this weekend. A young lady that once was a star in track and field at South Dearborn, now at the collegiate level doing some big things. And then this past Friday and Saturday, 20 high school basketball teams converging at Lawrenceburg High School. We'll take a recap of that and a few quick hits regarding South Dearborn Athletics. So let's jump right into the show and talk about the Lawrenceburg Hill, the annual 5K 5-mile runs happening on Saturday. This is the 8th annual event with all the proceeds benefiting Lauren's Fight for Cure in the name of Lauren Hill. Obviously, everyone in this area knows her story by now, and her story and legacy continues to grow on through events like this, and over 150 participants converged in Lawrenceburg on Saturday for the 5K and 5-mile events. Now, I want to focus on the 5K to start out. The first place finisher there was 28-year-old Luke Schaefer from Harrison, Ohio. His time in that 5K, 16 minutes, 37 seconds. Not too far behind him, Milan High School student athlete Aiden Potts, who just went pretty far in the track and field state tournament this past season, placed second at 17 minutes, 41 seconds, followed by Alex Schuler, a 19-yard out of Hamilton, Ohio, rounding out the top three in the 5K. In the 5-mile run, one that I'm tired just thinking about, Brian Wagner of Lawrenceburg. He's taking part in a lot of 5Ks, 5-mile runs in these parts. He was in first by a long shot, 38-year-old, finished with a time of 28 minutes, 57 seconds. You have a recent South Ripley High School graduate, Lainey Nicholson, who came in second, 34:28 was her time. And then Justin Knoppert, who serves on the city council here in Lawrenceburg, rounding out the top three, 35 minutes, 5 seconds in that 5-mile run. Don't want to forget about the walkers. This is more my speed at this 5K event. Don Bittner, excuse me, was the first place finisher in the 5K walk, 34 minutes, 30 seconds. James Magruder in second and Tom Widener in third. Magruder and Widener, both 70 or older, so showing out there in the 5K walk. Congratulations to those guys and, of course, Don Bittner for winning the 5K walk. And like I mentioned, all the funds raised from this event benefits Lauren's Fight for Cure. That provides scholarships, assistance to families suffering from pediatric brain cancer, and of course research, because there is the hope that one day we'll have a cure to all these terrible diseases, including ones that are terminal. So as always, it's great to see an awesome turnout each and every year for an event like this. Certainly want to say thank you on behalf of all of the folks that put together the Lawrenceburg Hill 5K and 5-mile runs. For those that did participate and donated to the cause, they give you that sleep-in option every year, which is a good one if you don't get out and run and walk on a regular basis but still want to donate to the cause. So certainly I want to say thank you to all the participants out there that did donate to such a worthy cause, and look forward to the 9th annual Lawrenceburg Hill around this time next year, as this event talent just continues to get bigger and better, it seems, each and every year. And then when you back up this event to Taste of Summer in Lawrenceburg Civic Park, I also had Relay for Life going on Saturday. It was a jam-packed day of fun and things for good causes as well. Here in Lawrenceburg. So if you want to check out the full results from the Lawrenceburg Hill, we can get you linked up over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And of course, you can learn more about Lauren's Fight for Cure there as well. Let's move on to our next topic here, featuring the Harrison High School girls wrestling team, who have been on this show a time or two because they continue to blaze a trail in the sport in the state of Ohio, and an inspiration, you could say, similar to Lauren Hill. She was an inspiration to many in these parts throughout the country and the world. That's how far her story spread as she realized her dream to play college basketball. This is an inspiration on a different level, though, as girls wrestling continues to become more and more popular, not only in Ohio, but in surrounding states as well. And I believe the Harrison girls wrestling team has played a little bit of a part in getting the OHSAA to recognize girls wrestling as a sanctioned sport. They're going to be under the emerging sport category this year, and they're going to have an official state tournament moving forward, which is going to be really, really cool and well-earned for not only the Harrison girls wrestling team, but other teams throughout the state of Ohio. But to talk about what's more recent in the news is Harrison High School, their girls wrestling team being nationally ranked to finish the 2021-22 season, as these ratings were compiled by representation from USA Wrestling, Flow Wrestling, and the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum. So certainly plenty of people within those organizations that know what they're talking about and can put together a rankings like this. But Harrison has found themselves in the top 30 teams in the nation. There was also 15 teams that received honorable mention, but Harrison number 11 to finish the 2021-22 season. And like most teams in the top 30, Harrison was the state champion in Ohio this year, winning the OHSWCA state tournament for the first time in school history, actually the first state title, team state title in school history as well. And some of the standouts from that team: Chloe Deerwester and Reagan Briggs were two that won individual state championships at 105 and 115 pounds, respectively. Deerwester has actually won two consecutive state championships and is currently ranked number 9 at 106 nationally. Number 9 in the nation is Chloe Deerwester, and Reagan Briggs checking in at 23rd nationally at 112 pounds. Lily Kinzel, Molly Hudler, and Jessica Edwards, three others that played a pivotal role in Harrison winning the state championship and becoming nationally ranked, as they all placed at the state tournament. Kinzel was a state runner-up at 130. Hudler finished 5th at 170, and Edwards 7th in the 235-pound tournament. But moving forward, this committee that I mentioned with USA Wrestling, Flow Wrestling, and the National Wrestling Hall of Fame and Museum, they would like to expand their rankings into 2022-23, include preseason rankings, midseason rankings, and final rankings. So I think that's going to be pretty cool to kind of track the progress of this Harrison team and other area teams that might pop up on these national rankings in the future with the preseason, midseason, and final season rankings. But certainly want to say congratulations once again to the Harrison High School girls wrestling team, not only for their state championship win back in February, but being ranked number 11 in the nation. And that certainly gives them something more to strive for, because I would imagine they would like to be number 1 on that list at some time in the future. Maybe they'll be able to climb up into the top 10, top 5, into the top 3, and maybe number 1 by the end of the 22-23 season. We don't know, but it will be fun to follow their progress, track their progress, and see how they do through this upcoming season. And I wouldn't be surprised to see this Harrison girls wrestling team right back on this particular show talking about some more successes in the future. So if you want to read up a little bit more about the national rankings, girls wrestling, certainly head over to EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, let's stick with female sports. We seem to be on a roll here, so I do have another story I want to get to regarding a former South Dearborn High School track and field star. This is something I have talked about on the air during my afternoon shift drive time with Double T, but want to once again recognize Eva Grace Quinlan, who is a sophomore at Indiana State University and has earned her way onto the 2022 Missouri Valley Conference Outdoor Track and Field all-conference team, and she did that by finishing as the runner-up in the heptathlon. And I'll be real honest with you, I'm not real well-versed in track and field, and I had to practice saying that word maybe 50 times just to get it right once. So I'm probably not going to say it again just so I don't stumble on it. But the event consists of 7 events, which are the 100-meter hurdles, high jump, shot put, 200-meter dash, javelin throw, long jump, and 800-meter run. I know I'm exhausted just talking about the 7 events, but you go through those 7 events, and the person that has the highest score wins the event that I won't say again because I probably can't get it right a second time. But of those 7 events, Quinlan placed first in the high jump. She was second in the 200-meter dash and fourth in the 100-meter hurdles. Those were her 3 best events of the 7, earning her the runner-up and a place on the all-conference team. She was also on the all-conference team during the indoor track and field season. So again, just as a sophomore, standing out at Indiana State University, and as a high school track and field star, Quinlan was a 2-time state qualifier in the 300-meter hurdles at South Dearborn High School, and obviously she's kind of expanded her role in track and field at the collegiate level, and we wanted to congratulate her on being Missouri Valley Conference All-Conference this season as a sophomore. Awesome, awesome job. And while we're on the topic of South Dearborn athletics, just a couple of quick hits here. South Dearborn boys soccer won both of their matches at the Batesville Showcase over the weekend. So it's good to see some of these area boys soccer teams, or just area soccer teams in general, getting out and playing games over the summer. I can remember back playing high school soccer as a junior and senior at Lawrenceburg, and I don't remember ever playing against anybody other than ourselves during the summer months. So I like this. You see it a lot in other sports, traveling around, playing some games, just kind of continuing to get better during the off season. And this is a South Dearborn team that won the sectional last year. They have some great talent coming back, so I wouldn't be surprised if they are in for a big year. And this is where that starts, is that training in the off season, continuing to get better as individuals and as a team, and winning matches against other schools over the summer can build some confidence as well. So kudos to the South Dearborn boys soccer team. And then not too long ago, the South Dearborn basketball team went up to Marion College and played some teams, and actually went 3-0 up there. So a similar situation here for South Dearborn. They are in a little bit of a transition period right now. We hope to have more on that in the coming weeks when information is actually given out. But South Dearborn basketball trying to get better here in the off season. They ultimately fell in the sectional semifinals a year ago to Lawrenceburg. Had a very, very talented team a year ago. It's going to look a little different this year, graduating some pretty solid players, especially the likes of Eli Hoffman, Reese Willoughby. So there's going to be some guys that have the opportunity to step up and play a more meaningful role coming up this winter. And this is where you start to earn your stripes a little bit and work your way into those more meaningful roles by getting in the gym over the summer, putting in the work, and obviously showing out when you get a chance to go play some summer ball. So South Dearborn doing some good things in boys soccer, boys basketball. And glad to report on that on this Monday edition of Crunch Time, which is always presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Tremba, located right here in Lawrenceburg. So it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, orthosensi.com. All right, let's stay on the basketball topic because, well, there was a lot of basketball played in Lawrenceburg over the weekend. The Lawrenceburg boys basketball shootout, the second annual shootout taking place at Lawrenceburg High School. They played games in the main gym and the Ox, and actually used the Lawrenceburg Community Center as well because they hosted 20 teams from Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. Each team played, I believe, 4 games in pool play, if my math is correct there, and then the teams were divided up into various brackets, gold, silver, bronze, as they moved out of pool play. That was obviously based on what your record was. For Lawrenceburg, went 1-2 in pool A. They did play a 4th game, didn't get the result on that, but lost to Charlestown. I got a chance to watch the first half of that game on Friday morning. It was a 39-34 loss to Charlestown. That's a game Lawrenceburg might have been able to win had they hit some free throws in that first half that I watched. I think they went 1-for-6 while I was there, and they were shooting 1 free throw for 2 points, so missing them them meant a little bit more in this format of this tournament. Played Belmont in the second game, 36-32 loss. They did score a win over South Decatur, and again, did not get the result from the fourth game in pool play. But Lawrenceburg did go on to play in the bronze bracket, where they did bounce back on Saturday, went 3-0. They defeated Northwest, Newport, and Switzerland County, which is a team they're obviously familiar with. But again, this is an opportunity to see what you have, not only Lawrenceburg, but all the other teams that were playing in this tournament. Give everybody a chance to play meaningful minutes against varsity competition from all these other schools. And it's just a learning opportunity and a way to get better. I would have loved to play in something like this when I was in school. I know we traveled around. We would play games up at Batesville. We'd go out to Milan. We played some games over at Northern Kentucky University one summer. So we were certainly bouncing around playing summer league games at various schools, but nothing that ever had 20 teams and had a tournament consist over 2 days with pool play and bracket play. I think it's a pretty cool format and hopefully something that is going to continue at Lawrenceburg. But there were some other area teams that were playing in this tournament. North Decatur, which is a team a lot of teams from this area will find on their schedule from year-to-year basis. And North Decatur played really well, actually ended up in the gold bracket, the top bracket, as they had wins against Kings, Indian Creek, and Newport. I actually caught the end of the Kings game. North Decatur winning it on a three near the buzzer right before Lawrenceburg played Charlestown, so that was pretty thrilling to see in person, even though it was a summer league game. Still gets the kids jacked up, and it was a cool moment, but they played well into that gold bracket. Unfortunately, Alter High School out of Dayton was the eventual champs. They went undefeated in this tournament, by the way. Switzerland County, they joined Lawrenceburg in the bronze bracket, but they had a pretty good weekend, if you ask me. They played some close games. They were competitive with a lot of teams, including the champion Dayton Alter. They only lost 9 points to them. They defeated Taylor out of Ohio, 48-41, and then lost a 53-50 game to Boone County, who usually has some pretty good talent. Taylor, as I mentioned, and Ryle from Northern Kentucky played in consolation games. Taylor was 0-4 in pool play. They graduated one heck of a senior class. I actually got a chance to talk to Coach Holland a couple weeks ago, bumped into him at an event in Cincinnati, and he said he's got some talent. Of course, he's got some players that don't have as much experience as he had last year, but he likes the group of kids that he has. It's just about, again, finding out what you have, who's going to step into those expanded roles, who's going to become a leader on the team, a go-to guy or two that you can count on down the stretch of close games. So again, Taylor working through some kinks here in the off season, and Ryle struggled as well, but did pick up a win over Austin. And as for Boone County, they ended up playing in the silver bracket, so had a pretty decent weekend at the Lawrenceburg boys basketball shootout. 20 teams played. Alter High School out of Dayton goes undefeated and wins the second annual boys basketball shootout at Lawrenceburg. And again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think this is a really cool thing. Great format. You get in a lot of games in a two-day span. You get to play teams that you normally don't get to play against that aren't popping up on the schedule from a year-to-year basis. So maybe you get to play against some different styles. So while there is an eventual winner of this tournament, I think all the teams that participate are winners, because the summer months are about getting better and preparing for the upcoming season. So everybody got a chance to get a little bit better this past Friday and Saturday at Lawrenceburg. Not only the Tigers, but the other 19 teams that played in this tournament. And I don't know about you. I know it's only June, but it has got me juiced up for the high school basketball season, which we've still got to get through the fall sports season. I'm as equally pumped up for that as well, and we are certainly going to be diving into some of that fall sports talk before too long right here on this program, because sports get a little stale in the summer months, to be quite honest. There's not as much going on, so we are anticipating doing some preview shows talking about football, soccer, so forth and so on. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for sports, work, and everyday injuries. Accepting walk-ins, or you can go online to schedule your next appointment at orthocincy.com. That's orthocincy.com. All right, a couple more things to get to round out the show this evening. A big weekend upcoming for one individual from Lawrenceburg High School, that being Drew Lanning, who has been selected to play in the Indiana High School Baseball Coaches Association's North vs. South All-Star Game. And it's actually All-Star Games because there's going to be two games played on Saturday and then a wood bat game on Sunday this weekend at Indiana Wesleyan University up in Marion, Indiana. And Drew Lanning, one of the best strikeout artist in Southeast Indiana, actually throughout the state of Indiana for a couple years running now. A Hanover College commit, all EIAC selection, 3-4 on the mound this year, but don't pay attention to that win-loss record. 0.78 ERA, 114 strikeouts to just 25 walks in 53 2/3 innings pitched. Those stats coming to you via Max Prep, so obviously Lanning can really get it done out there on the mound. Strikeout to walk ratio is absolutely awesome, and not allowing many earned runs at all, which is what you want to see out of your starting pitchers. So he's going to get a chance to go up to Indiana Wesleyan this weekend. Festivities are going to take place Friday through Sunday. They'll have workouts, team pictures, all-star banquet on Friday, two games on Saturday, one at noon, followed by game two around 3:45, and then the wood bat game scheduled for 1 o'clock on Sunday. And the really cool thing about the wood bat game, other than the fact that the kids get to use a wood bat like the pro players do, but each of these representatives from the North and South All-Star teams are going to get to wear their high school uniform one more time. So I think that's pretty cool for Drew Lanning to be able to put on that Tigers uniform one last time and play in an All-Star game against some of the best baseball players in the state of Indiana. And if you're interested in attending any of these All-Star games on Saturday or Sunday, tickets will be available at the gate. Again, the game is going to be played at Indiana Wesleyan University in Marion, Indiana. So congratulations to Drew Lanning, not only on representing the South at this All-Star game, his graduation from Lawrenceburg High School, and his commitment to Hanover College. Pretty cool he's going to be playing at Hanover, because it's not going to be too bad of a trip for friends and family to go see him play at the collegiate level. And hopefully he's got a good contingent of fans in the stands this weekend at the North-South All-Star game. Also wanted to talk a little girls tennis, as the Indiana High School Tennis Coaches Association has released their 2022 All-State teams, and six tennis players from the area have earned All-State honors. And the top of that list is East Central number one singles player Heidi Kane, who made the second team as a singles player. First singles player in school history, actually, to be named to the All-State team at EC. And as a senior, won the EIAC title, back-to-back sectional champ for Kane, who advanced to the regional final in the individual tournament. Ended up losing to the state runner-up, Lauren Long, out of Park Tudor, so no reason to hang her head for that loss. But aside from being a All-State player, Kane was selected to the North-South All-Star event, went 2-0 there in singles, and actually won her one doubles match playing with a young lady from, I believe, Columbus North. So an instance where rivals come together for the greater good, it seems, as Heidi Kane has an awesome experience at the North-South All-Star event. Oldenburg Academy's number one doubles team, Mimi Wilder and Evelyn Storms. Look out for these two, because they were just juniors this past season, but they made second team doubles and helped Oldenburg Academy to one of their best seasons in program history. So they won the sectional, won the regional, made it to the final eight, where they lost 3-2, hard-fought loss to Delta. They were just a couple steps away from the state finals, but an awesome season for Oldenburg, and their number one doubles team of Wilder and Storms was a big part of their success. I also want to recognize Peyton Pies from East Central, number three singles champion in the EIAC. Ellie McMullen, the number one runner-up, actually Pies, excuse me, number two singles. Ellie McMullen, number one singles runner-up in the EIAC, and then Isabel Price from Oldenburg Academy. Those three young ladies were selected as All-State honorable mention, and they will all be back next season. So they'll be looking to get themselves on the second team and or the first team next year. But plenty of great tennis players here in the area, specifically on the girls' side of things. It was a pretty great season all around for a lot of teams and individuals. And a special congratulations to those six young ladies for receiving and earning All-State honors from the Indiana High School Tennis Coaches Association. And since there's a few minutes left for me to continue flapping my gums, I just want to talk about a couple of more national sports stories that are top of mind, things I've been thinking about. I watched the U.S. Open over the weekend. Actually got to see a pretty good chunk of this tournament at the Country Club of Brookline up in the Boston area. This is a place that is kind of a historic grounds, but they haven't had the U.S. Open up there in quite some time. But Matt Fitzpatrick became the second player to ever win the U.S. Open amateur title and the U.S. Open on the same course, as he joined Jack Nicklaus in that feat yesterday with a total 6-under for the tournament. And it was a great spectacle from the U.S. Open yesterday in particular. I thought it was a really fun Sunday with plenty of big names in the mix. Scottie Scheffler, one of the best golfers in the world right now. He's had a phenomenal season. You got Jon Rahm, who was up there at the top of the list. He won the U.S. Open last year. Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama ended up finishing in fourth. And then Will Zalatoris and Matt Fitzpatrick, they were in that final group, and they were going back and forth all day long. And Zalatoris actually had a birdie putt on 18 that nearly fell, which would have forced a two-hole aggregate playoff, but Matt Fitzpatrick holds on to win the U.S. Open. And I thought this story was kind of neat. Back when he was an amateur playing in the U.S. Open, the tournament he won that I mentioned, he was staying with a family there in the area. I'm not sure the relationship there, but anyways, he stayed with that family during the amateur and won it, and then several years later, this past weekend at the U.S. Open, stays with that same family and wins the U.S. Open. So he was kind of joking about petitioning to get all of the PGA events at the Country Club of Brookline, because it's kind of turned into a home course for Matt Fitzpatrick. But the golf was fantastic over the weekend. I thought the Sunday finish was awesome with Zalatoris and Scheffler chasing Fitzpatrick, only falling by a stroke each. So really, really great tournament and a fun watch over the weekend. Hopefully you got a chance to check it out if you are a golf fan. And moving on from that, another thing that has been top of mind for me is the World Cup host city draw that happened last week. I had mentioned it a little bit on air during my afternoon shift that Cincinnati was among the finalists to host World Cup games in 2026 when the men's tournament comes to North America. Much of the games are going to be contested in U.S. cities. Canada and Mexico have host sites as well. So that, in you know, the full scope of things, is going to be pretty cool that the World Cup is going to span three countries in 2026. It's also going to be the largest field that they've ever had, with I believe 48 teams playing in 2026. So I thought it would be really, really cool to see Cincinnati get some games. They obviously did not. You could tell by my tone if you already didn't see the draw, but they were not selected as a host city, and primarily due to the stadium that they have. That's pretty much number one on the checklist, as having the facility for it. Paul Brown Stadium, if you've been there, I think it's a nice place to see a game. There's not necessarily a bad seat in the house, but there's not much going for it other than that. It's just a bunch of concrete and some seats. It's a very, very simple stadium, and FIFA wanted to see Cincinnati make some upgrades to the stadium, about $10 million worth. Looks like the city was going to play along and wanted to do that. They might not have to worry about it now, because FIFA's not coming here with the World Cup, and that could be for a host of reasons. I don't want to necessarily dive into that. I don't have enough time for it as well. I just know from seeing and reading some other things online that stadium was kind of top of the list. Obviously, you have to have an international airport. I think we have a very good one here in the area. Hotels, I don't know if there would be enough to host a event of this magnitude, because it just brings so many people in. So a lot of things that go into it. The thing that kind of gets me a little bit is some of the host cities that they have chosen. And I'm not necessarily talking bad about these cities. It's just where they're fields are, their stadiums are positioned. If you look at like Kansas City and Boston, some of these cities that were selected for the World Cup host sites, their stadiums are nowhere near the city. They're just in a big empty field, essentially. So what's that do for you in terms of the game day experience and being able to experience that town if you are a visitor? Yeah, sure, you're coming here to go to the games, but there's so much more surrounding that. I thought Cincinnati, with Paul Brown Stadium situated right there on the riverfront and right in downtown, that gives people on the game day an opportunity to, you know, visit visit the bars and restaurants and businesses in the city and boost up the economy there and just have a full experience in the city, especially if you're coming from outside of the city. So I thought it was a little suspect that they picked some of those cities where their stadiums are kind of away from everything, but maybe that's by design. I don't know, and maybe I don't really have a gripe in this certain situation, but Nashville was another city that was close by that did not get selected. Chicago bowed out of the process many, many months ago, so there's not necessarily one particular city that's a really, like, fairly easy drivable distance. Philly, Kansas City is about as close as it gets from these parts, so there you have it. If you're wanting to go to a World Cup game, not going to be as easy as maybe we hoped it would be as soccer fans, but it is what it is. And also, Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, I heard that their proposal was not so great, but the nation's capital was left off of the list as well. I just kind of scratched my head at that. So I've run myself out of time. Thank you for listening to my spiel there at the end about the World Cup and PGA golf as I filled the last 5 minutes, hopefully halfway decent, here on Crunch Time. Again, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You can learn about all their great services at orthosensi.com. Appreciate you listening. As always, we'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on Eagle Country 99.3 and at Eagle Country Online.